Hi, and welcome to the CWF Gamecast. Today is November 26th. It's Sunday, and it's a Sunday after Thanksgiving. I am your host, Jonathan Reinhardt, a.k.a. Raven, and today we have a great show coming on. We're going to be discussing Star Wars Miniatures Space Battles, which is a brand new game put out by Wizards of the Coast. We're going to be discussing new releases for the Eldar and Warhammer 40,000, change to our format, and we're also going to be talking about the Game Workshop holiday gift guides. But of course, we have a little bit of business to do for you, and you know, that little teaser just kind of get you into the mood and everything. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. The one here was kind of, it was good, but it wasn't great. You know, last Sunday my grandfather had passed away, but things kind of ended up looking up because beginning of the week I found out that I got a brand new job. I will be working over at Boston College in Chestnut Hill as the supervisor of one of the special libraries for the university, and I'll be starting that in the beginning of the year, and that actually deals slightly with our format change, and I'll talk more about that at that appropriate time. Right now, we want to head on into one of my favorite sections of our podcast, and that is Music to Game By. And the Music to Game By today is actually going to be twofold. As always, our Music to Game By, we strongly recommend you go to our radio station on the World Wide Web. It is a CWF Gamecast Radio. We play all sorts of rock, pop, 80s. We play a little emo for those who like it. And we do some podcasting and pod-safe music. But also, we want to play a great song. It's called Persephone by Ethereal, and it is a piece of PodSafe music. So if you have a podcast or you just want to listen to music, it's definitely 100% free and totally legal for you to go ahead, download, and listen to it. And we're going to be playing that right now. And when we're done, we'll be back with one of the next sections of the show where we'll be talking about the Star Wars Minis Starship Battles. Enjoy Persephone by Ethereal. And we're back. Hope you enjoyed Persephone by Ethereal. It's kind of a cool song, and she has a lot of other music out there that's pretty cool. We'll be playing some other stuff by her in the future, and we were asked by the artist to play this, and we played it in our last podcast. We were very excited to do so, and got such a good response about it that we decided we'd do a little repeat performance of it for you, in case you had missed it before. We want to remind you that you can find us on the World Wide Web at our website. It is wargamingforums.com, and on there you can download Persephone by Ethereal. You can download our theme song, which is Zombie by Devin Anderson. You can also check out our show notes, which tells you everything that we do in each of our podcasts. They have links to all of the websites and everything that we reference, articles and whatnot. You can also find out how to give us feedback and much, much more. And one of the cool things about our website is that it is hosted by our sponsor, AccioHosting.com. Think Nacho without the N. And Accio Hosting has web hosting plans that start at just $3.55 a month. If you're a podcaster, chances are, you know, you need some place to put your podcast, a lot of bandwidth, you need people who are going to be good and know what they're talking about. Accio Hosting is a place for you. And the cool thing about them is they're working on unveiling these really cool new hosting plans for Shoutcast. And Shoutcast is this cool thing for radio. We use it for our internet radio, and it basically allows you to do and run a radio station on the internet without any additional cost. Shoutcast hosting plans, of course, cost money. No matter where you go, you're going to have to pay for a hosting plan. And more information is coming forward on that, but just want to let you know that AccioHosting.com will be having those hopefully soon. So be sure to head over to AccioHosting.com for their fun, friendly, and knowledgeable staff and quick sign-ups. So AccioHosting.com for all your web hosting needs. As we had mentioned, we want to talk about a brand new game that I had just discovered yesterday called Starship Battles. It is a section of the Star Wars miniatures by Wizards of the Coast. Wizards of the Coast, as you know, got their fame from the incredible collectible card game called Magic the Gathering. And those of us who are at least as old as I am definitely know the game from way back and probably played it way back. I have, you know, many Magic cards from Alpha and Beta and Limited and Unlimited and so forth, but we don't want to talk about Magic. We want to talk about Star Wars Minis Starship Battles. When they came out with the Star Wars Minis, it was kind of cool, because, you know, you got to play with your favorite Star Wars characters. You got to be like Luke, or Han, or Leia, or Vader, or the Emperor. They even did the prequels and stuff, and you got, like, vehicles, like the AT-AT and whatnot. You could do Battle of Hoth, and it was just really, really cool. A great game. It sold really well, since it was a collectible miniature, or CCM. They were pre-painted. They were randomized. You bought a booster or a starter box. You didn't really know what you were getting in it. A starter might have some guaranteed stuff. But beyond that, it was luck of the draw, hence the collectible portion of it. Whatever you had, you know, if you needed something that a friend had, you could trade if you had an extra or whatnot. Starship Battles is similar in that it's a collectible. And instead of guys, you know, little stormtroopers or Ewoks or whatnot, you get ships. You get, you know, anything from an Imperial Star Destroyer on down to an X-Wing, and you do battle on maps. It's a grid map just like in the land-based game, and they have tons and tons of models, and they're really, really well done. It's a great system. I played one game yesterday against this kid. His name's Jared down in Battleground in Abington, and he's really into the whole collectible card games and collectible miniatures. And so I bought a case of the stuff. And then I also bought a bunch of boosters. I basically wiped out the store of all their stock. And I got tons of stuff. And when I bought my, you know, box, my case rather, I got, like I said, a ton of stuff. But the amazing thing was how many rares I got. I got all but 5 of the rares for the entire game. Now you have to keep in mind, I believe it's 60... It's a 60, you know, set. So there's 60 different little ships that you can get. And all but 5 of the rares I got yesterday. The price point is pretty cool. It's about $39.99 or $34.99 for a starter. The starter guarantees you an Super Star Destroyer, the Executor, plus this really gigantic Mon Calamari Star Defender. It's called the Viscount, and that's actually from the New Republic era. As you know, the Super Star Destroyer Executor is from Return of the Jedi. The home one for the good guys, which is that big gigantic cruiser used by the Rebels in Return of the Jedi that has the fish people on it, aka Admiral Akbar. That's not in the starter set, but that is a rare that you can pull from any of the boosters. The boosters cost about $21.99. I know the price point seems a little high, but you got to keep in mind that you get a lot of stuff in it. It's a really good game. Everything is accurate. They're pre-painted, pre-assembled. The gameplay is so smooth. To avoid complications, you choose a fleet, and you choose either light or dark side, so basically good or bad, and you don't need to worry about time period. So you can have, like, Anakin Skywalker with Luke Skywalker and, like, the Millennium Falcon taking on Emperor Palpatine and Darth Vader. Awesome. The ships, you know, you can go anywhere from cruiser heavy to fighter heavy, depending on the mission and what your opponent's doing. You choose, like, say, you want to make a 300-point fleet. All the ships have X amount of points on them. And then some of the ships are really neat because after you take, you know, enough damage on your ship that would normally kill it, instead of the ship dying and blowing up, you have a little card that tells you, like, all the things that you can do, what your weapons are, and any special abilities and whatnot, and what they take for damage. You can flip the card over on some of them, and they work at a reduction of whatever their abilities and skills and so forth and stats were, but they're not dead. They're just kind of crippled. So they can still do damage, and you can still use them, and they still count as points, and you can still end up winning the game when they're crippled, which is really, really cool. Not all the ships have it. Most of the fighters do not, unless they're a special fighter. When I played yesterday, I kind of had a heavy cruiser light side fleet. I was using the Viscount, the home one. I had a ton of X-Wings. I had Rogue Squadron X-Wing, which is really cool, and the Falcon. I had some Rebel transports. You're thinking, why would you want to use a Rebel transport? The anti-starfighter platforms. And I had Luke Skywalker. And I took out a ton of my opponent's stuff. He had tons and tons and tons of Imperial fighters. And with the TIE fighter, they're endless, so they just keep on recycling. When you kill them, they never really die. There's always more. And it's so fluffy if you think about it. But it came down to a battle between... he had an Imperial Star Destroyer left on the table, and I had and a bunch of fighters, and I had my Mon Calamari Star Defender, the Viscount. So I blew up his Star Destroyer, and I was getting creamed by his fighters. There was no doubt about it. I thought I was going to lose. He took me down to enough hell points where I ended up having to flip over my card. I was crippled, and then he kept on doing more damage. One thing saved me. With the Mon Calamari Star Defender, and several other ships have it as well, it's called PD. It's a special ability that allows you to do a so-called point defense, and it works only against fighters, only against fighters that are in base-to-base contact, and you get one attack against each of the fighters. If you roll sufficiently on your D20, they die. Normally you get a bonus, but if you're crippled, you get no bonus for PD, but you still get to do your PD attack. I took out half of his fighters with that. After I had destroyed the Star Destroyer, I ended up taking out the rest of his fighters with my turbo lasers and iron cannons and stuff. I had one hull point left, and I won the game. The game is really cool. There's a big, big community of people who want to play. There's tons of different things you can do with the game. There's a lot of crossover ability with the land-based game. You can do, like, say, Battle of Hoth, space with this, and then you can do Battle of Hoth on land with the AT-ATs and everything. And you can have everything influence each other. You can do Death Star trench runs at the Battle of Endor and all sorts of stuff. This game gets two gigantic big thumbs up from us here at the CWF Gamecast. I know, as a rule, people try to stay away from collectible miniature games or collectible card games because they just kind of sap your money. We strongly recommend that if you want to do this, buy one starter set, so you can get, you know, the Executor and all, like, the gigantic ships, plus the rules, counters, and dice, and everything. And buy boosters by the case. They're about $21, $21.99 per booster, I believe. Although it might be $12.99. But if you buy a case, you only spend about $120 to $140. A lot of stores will give you a discount. If you go to Battleground Games in Edmonton, they give you 10% off for buying a case. If you go to Danger Planet up in Waltham, if you spend $100, you get a 10% off. So, you know, spend $100 on, you know, something else, maybe Horrorclix, or maybe you're buying 40K or Fantasy or Flames of War or Confrontation or Starship Troopers. Or maybe you just need a ton of glue, especially now that it's Christmas. You know, maybe you're buying a lot of stuff for other people. Save the receipt. come back, buy a case of Star Wars minis, get 10% off. Want to let you know, though, that if people who live in Eastern Massachusetts, don't go to Battleground Games in Edmonton or Danger Planet in Waltham anytime soon, because I have bought both of the places out of all their Star Wars minis, spaceship battles products. And now, just to let you know, after buying one actual case and a case and a half worth of boosters of other stuff, I am only missing, it looks like, I have all of the light side ships, and I am missing four of the dark side ships. And the funny thing is, two of them are uncommons, and two of them are rare. I don't have a Star Destroyer, I don't have a cloak-shaped fighter, I don't have a Binkin Clan frigate, which is rare, and I don't have Asajj Ventress's Starfighter, which is also rare. Other than that, I have everything out, and I have doubles or triples of everything. If you happen to know me and you have any of those, I'm definitely willing to make trades. I have doubles of Luke Skywalker and so forth and anything. But just basically want to say the game's awesome. Be sure to check out our show notes on this, because we have a link to the official website over at Wizards of the Coast, and also an article on Star Wars minis over at Wikipedia. And the Wikipedia article is really, really cool, because if you go there, it tells you near the bottom, it talks about playing it online with a thing called the Vassal Engine. Be sure to check that out, and be kind of cool, you know, play it online, talk to your friends. If you can't afford a case by yourself, split a case with a friend. Me and my friend Steve, and actually my English teacher would be saying, me and who? I should be saying Steve and I, my friend Steve and I, we want to play Horrorclix. We've heard some great things about that, and we want to buy it by the brick. Well, that's kind of expensive, so we agreed, you know, we're going to split a brick. He pays half, I pay half, and we each take half of a brick. Good way to go, you know? And so we strongly recommend it, and don't want to actually want to spend more time on it, because we're spending quite a bit of time on this as it is. But Star Wars Minis, the Starship Battles, is incredible. Whether you want to play the game, whether you like Star Wars, whether you want to decorate stuff, or maybe you just want to play with it on the floor, whatever, you know? Last night I got all my stuff, and I just played with them on the floor like I did when I was 7, you know? It's just kind of cool. You can use it for anything and everything. So go to your nearest friendly local gaming store and be sure to pick up Star Wars Minis Starship Battles. In our next segment, we're going to be talking about new releases for the Elder and Games Workshop's Warhammer 40,000. And coming up later in the podcast, we have information about a format change for the show and Game Workshop's holiday gift guides. So we'll be back after a small break. And we're back. This segment of the show, we want to talk about the new releases for The Elder and Warhammer 40,000 by Games Workshop. The Elder is the newest flavor of the month for Games Workshop in their sci-fi game, Warhammer 40,000. Elder have been around for a while, but they just got a total revamp, a new rulebook, a lot of new models, and they're slowly letting them come out bit by bit. The rulebook, or Codex as it's called, came out, you know, a lot too long ago, and one of the surprising things in it, which people had heard, and it was kind of rumors going back and forth, but that the Dark Elder no longer have a codex. Dark Elder had been officially discontinued for the time being. There was a rumor that they would be inserted into the Eldar Codex as like a special, you know, army choice called Pirate Elder, or that you could just get a troop choice called Pirate Elder or whatever and use them. Kind of like how, you know, with the Inquisitors or the Space Marines, you can have like the Witch Hunters, or, you know, Sisters of, Witch or Sisters of Battle, or Space Marine Inquisitors and so forth and whatnot. But that didn't end up being the case. This month, for new releases, there's three items for the Eldar. First, we have an Eldar Viper Jet Bike. The Viper Jet Bike is a step up from the regular jet bike. It has heavier weapons. Think of it like a land speed of tornado. It's kind of cool. The model's pretty nifty. Price points on these, as you know, GW raised all the prices on all their product, and then they lowered prices on a lot of plastic kits because people were complaining. People said, hey, why are you, you know, doing this. You're just trying to gouge prices. And GW was like, hey, no, we're not. So the Viper is actually $30. It's a plastic kit. And the kit comes with enough stuff for you to assemble one Viper jet bike. Of course, you got to paint it and assemble it and everything. And the jet bike is a fast attack choice, so be sure to check that out. It's pretty cool. I like the model myself, and if I played Eldar, I'd probably get it. One of the other items is the Eldar Warwalker, which has changed incredibly over the ages, from having canopies to not having canopies and how it's been set up and whatnot. Now it has a canopy. It's a heavy support choice. It gets two heavy weapons on it. The kit is $30, and it makes one Warwalker. It's completely plastic. Plastic is wonderful. We love plastic, and we bow down and say thank you, plastic. So that's another cool buy. But my favorite buy for the Eldar of their new releases are the Striking Scorpions, because Striking Scorpions are in power armor, are incredibly fast, they are elite, and they just really, really own. The box set costs $30. I believe it's plastic. I'd actually have to double check that on you. But it comes with 6 Striking Scorpions, 5 regular guys, plus an Exarch. The Exarch has, you know, the bits so you can make a biting blade. And they're just really, really cool. They're good sculpts. We strongly recommend that you take a peek at them. And we have artwork up on our website, and you can also head on over to the GW online store and check out the artwork there. Be sure to check out our show notes at wargamingforums.com, where you can find a link to the Eldar section for the GW online store. In our next segment, which we're going to do right now, we're going to talk about a format change. And format change is actually kind of grows out of my new job at Boston College. As you know, right now, the format is twice a week on Thursdays and on Sundays. We have a new podcast, and we also do our internet radio, and we have some other times and stuff for the radio station. We announced last night and also a day or two before on the radio that would be changing. My hours at BC unfortunately entail working afternoon to early evening on Monday through Thursday, and then almost all day on Sunday. Granted, they don't open until, you know, like 12, but basically all day on Sunday. And that kind of causes a problem, because I do a lot of things on my Thursdays. Unfortunately, we're not going to be doing a podcast on Thursdays anymore. We're probably not going to be doing a podcast on Sundays anymore. We might go down to one podcast. I want to try to stay at 2 podcasts per week. Going to try to see how that's going to work out. Not sure how it is. But there's time to think about it. We have a month, give or take, to think about it. I don't start my new job until the new year. And it looks like we're probably going to have a podcast either on Fridays or Saturdays. And then I want to get one somewhere near the beginning of the week. I don't know when or where or how. But I don't want to diminish what we give out to you guys. You guys have been great. You're incredible. You give us a lot of great feedback. And, you know, we do the show for you, not for us. Like you, we're gamers. We go out, we play, we have fun. And we just want to talk about what, you know, we do and what you do. Because, yeah, there's a lot of us who do it. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't feel like there's a lot of us. And, you know, sharing ideas, bouncing things off each other. And word of mouth is a big way in the hobby that things, you know, do well or bad or whatever. Most of the games I play because either I saw them and they looked cool, or someone told me about them. I got into the whole Warhammer stuff because this kid at school, an old friend of mine named Jesse, one day he was on a website in the library and he was looking at the Warhammer website. I was like, that looks cool. I want to do that too. And he's like, well, here's the blah, 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 blah. And from there, you know, I started getting stuff. And then my friend Steve, he's like, I like this game or that game. Or, hey, do you want to try Horrorclix or this or that? And, like, I got him into Starship Troopers. And the whole word of mouth thing is really how it goes. What your friends are playing or want to play is what you're going to play. And what you want to play or are playing, your friends are going to play. So, you know, we just want to share what we're playing, what we think. And, you know, we learn from you, you learn from us. So, as I said, the format change won't take place until beginning of the year in January. And for the time being, we're keeping things as they are. But just wanted to give you a heads up. And if you have any suggestions or recommendations for what we should do, please feel free to send them in. At the end of today's podcast, as always, we're going to tell you how to give us feedback. Right now, we're going to talk about the holiday gift guides for Games Workshop, and this is actually kind of cool. On the Games Workshop website, I think we'll just call it GW from now on, because I've been doing too much tongue twisting today. On the GW online store, they have these gift guides, really. You know, it's the time you had to be buying presents, and, you know, a lot of us are gamers, but, you know, if you're not a gamer, you don't really know what to buy a gamer. People, you know, just might not know what we like, what armies we play, what we need, or what are just useful gifts. And GW was cool because they broke it down by game. They have a fantasy, 40K, and Lord of the Rings. Then they have a section of just like gifts like anyone can use, like dice and stuff. And then they also have a stocking stuffer section or guide. And we want to talk about each of the guides and, you know, just list some of the items in there. And not in today's podcast, but in an upcoming podcast, we're going to give you a list of things that we think would make good gifts for any gamer. And, you know, some of them are going to be game specific and some of them won't. Of course, you know, when we do our list, things like dice and paint and glue and brushes, things like that, definitely going to, you know, be up there. But something you might not think of that we would say is putting money into giving people cues at their friendly local gaming store for drinks. A lot of gaming stores sell drinks and stuff. They might have a machine, or they might do it a little more informally and have, like, say, a fridge or whatever, and you can prepay drinks. My friend Steve prepays each week at Battleground for his sodas, and that way he can just get whatever he wants without having to worry about the money afterwards. So maybe you have a friend, or maybe you yourself, and this could be a gift idea for someone else, could use a week's worth of free drinks from your local gaming store, you know? So having them prepaid comes in really handy. And just things like that. But as said, the Games Workshop website, they have a ton of items listed in the gift guide. And it's really cool because not only they didn't just do a list, they broke it down by price. As you know, if you play the hobby, any of these hobbies, no matter what the game is, it's expensive. And finding things that are inexpensive and finding things that are really expensive can be hard. If you're in school, as most gamers are, either in high school or elementary or college or whatever, you're on a budget. And even if you're out of school, you're on a budget. And, you know, you might have price limits that you spend on friends. Some people might spend $20 on a friend, or, you know, $50 on a loved one, or whatever you can afford. What I really, really like is that for the fantasy section, they gave some great gift suggestions for $10 and under. Like, these are really, really, really good gift ideas. Movement trays, which anyone and everyone needs for fantasy. You, unlike 40K, you need movement trays. $10. They have an advanced sword out for the Warhammer counter set. Counters, you know, cover all sorts of different effects and things you use, magic and whatnot. $9. Fantasy themed dice, $9. Or you can get a Wood Elf Army standard bearer. $10. What else? A great new army. Really, really cool. For $50 and under, they have the rulebook for fantasy, the new one, which everyone needs if you're playing fantasy. $50. You can get Chaos Warriors for $35. You can get the Battle for Skull Pass for $45. The Orcs and Goblins rulebook, $20. Almost any of the rulebooks or any of the armies are going to be $20. Any regiment, whether it's Chaos Warriors or not, if they're on foot, they're probably about $30-$35. Any single miniatures, like they suggest the Dwarf Lord with Winged Helm, he's a direct exclusive, or the Ogre Man-Eater Ninja is another direct exclusive. But like the Dwarf Lord's 12 and the Man-Eater's 20. Any like single model, like a general or whatever, it's probably going to be about $12 or maybe $20. Another great gift idea. If you can spend a ton of money, like $100 or more, you know, up to 100 or more, they have the collector's edition of the rulebook, which is 90. We don't really recommend that. We don't think it's a good buy. Any of the battalion sets by themselves are about $90. Or GW right now is doing this great deal where you buy the Battle for Skull Pass plus any battalion set of your choice for $135, and then they give you free special limited edition Goblin Knight Goblin Fanatic. So if you have a ton of money to spend, maybe you know someone who's starting or wants to start a new army. Maybe someone always wanted to start Orcs and Goblins, and now that they're new, this is what you could do. You get Battle for Skull Pass. It comes with a mini rulebook. It comes with Orcs and Goblins, which are, you know, snapped together. It comes with Dwarfs, which are snapped together. So you already have the start of another army to play with, you and your friend. You buy them the battalion set, and hey, you get a special limited edition Night Goblin Fanatic. Really cool. $135. A lot of these, awesome. I gotta say, I was really, really impressed by the ones that are $10 and under, and some of the ones that are $50 and under. The $100 and above, it is great deals for the, you know, Battle Skull Pass plus the battalion sets. It feels a little too much marketing for me, but still, you know, it's nice. Even just a battalion set's $90. Not too bad. For 40K, they kind of do the same thing as they did for Fantasy. You know, for 10 and under, they have weapon templates, which are only $8. And that's actually really, really cool, because no matter what army you play, you need weapon templates. Yeah, at the back of the rulebook, you can photocopy them out. These are actually handier. Most people like them. They have the pie plate, you know, the small blast template, and you have your flame template. You can get the battlefield accessories kit for $10, the 40K dice for $10, or you can get an advanced order of the 40K vehicle damage dice, which are $10 and $9 rather. Those are, yeah. But the weapon template and the 40K dice, I think, are two big goodbyes. For 50 and under, they, like in Fantasy, they have the Battle for Macrog, which is the, you know, Battle for Skull Pass version. You can get any, you know, squad, more or less, for 35. They suggest the Space Marine Tactical Squads. Most of the rule books are going to be $20, like the Codex Tau, Cities of Death, the War Gear book. You buy the 40K rule book, the brand new one, $50. Can't go wrong with that. That's a great buy. And then they have, for Cities of Death, they came out with great urban terrain. They showed the Manufactorium for $25. But most of the other single sets for the cities are, you know, $25 or so. And if you're going to spend up to $100 or more, they have the Space Marine Mega Force, which is really cool. Think of a battalion set with extra stuff. $175. Any battalion set, they call them Battle Force, but battalion set for 40K is $90 on its own. You can get some of the different city stuff, terrain, for $90. And like in the Fantasy thing, they're doing, you know, buy Battle for Macrog plus any Battle Force set, $135. And in this case, you get a special limited edition Elder Farseer guy. So it's pretty cool. But again, I don't think it's just marketing. The best buys, I think, for the 40K are, you know, the 40K weapon templates, dice, the main rulebook for $50, or any, you know, squad box for $35. Moving on, for Lord of the Rings, which is the third main game, and I know it's not the most popular game, but it's, you know, one of the big ones, they do the same breakdown. For under 10, they have a dice set that's 10. They have single models that are $10 each. Knight of Dol Amroth, giant bats, and then there's the Watcher in the Water, which is from a special scene, and he's a direct exclusive. Out of those, I gotta say, I think the Knight of Dol Amroth and the Mine of Moria dice set are probably the best buys. 50 and under, again, the rule book is 50. Best buy for there. Any of the other army books are $25. Again, really, really good buys. And then they have some box games, like the Mines of Moria. You can get Ruins or any of the painting sets. The Plastic Balrog's out. He's only $40. That's a great buy for that. And then for up to $100 and above, you can get the War Mumak. That's $65. That's a really, really good deal. Witch King's $50. And then they have, like, the... They call them, like, the Hosts or Muster, whatever boxes. Think of them like the Battle Force boxes. They're $90 a piece, whether they're Eastern Invaders or maybe you want to play Rohan or Isengard or Minas Tirith or whatever. $90 gets you a Battle Force set. And like in all the others, they do in a special deal. You buy Mines of Moria, which is just like, you know, Battle for Macrog or Battle for Skull Pass, plus a battalion set for $135, and they throw in a free special limited edition model. In this case, I believe it's a Gimli. Not really great. A best buy for here, I think, is actually the rulebook and the Plastic Balrog. And then lastly, actually, that's not lastly. second to last is stocking stuffers. And as any parent knows, it's really, really hard to find things that will fit in stockings. You know, I'm going to be 25 this December, and I still get gifts from Santa and from my parents. Excuse me, and from other people. And they have a hard time finding things that can fit in a stocking. Today, you know, I picked up some of that Star Wars mini stuff, and I gave them two booster boxes, said, here, put them aside for me for Christmas. But some great things that GW recommends, they have, from the Black Library, a couple books they recommend. From the Horus Heresy, Galaxy in Flames for $7.99. Any of the Horus Heresy books, two thumbs up, great stocking stuffers. They also have, you know, some special limited edition models, like the Space Marine Tech Marine, the Eldar Ranger, Gandalf and his cart. They range from $8 for the Eldar Ranger to $20 for Gandalf, $17 for the Space Marine. Water effects is $25. You know, the dice, the Warhammer dice are $9. The Mines of Moria dice is $9. Superglue, $8. Modeling grass, you know, flock. For your bases, $8, a tub of that. You can get modeling putty for $8. Any of that stuff, really, really good deals. And they mention them here, the great stocking stuffers. And then lastly, they have a section that they call, you know, gifts for every Games Workshop fan. And they go from anything from the flock, which are $8, or sand, $8. They have already textured movement trays, which great deal. They're $10 a piece. They have the cases for you to put your guys in. $50 for a figure case, or $50 for a tank figure case, which allows you to put your tanks in. Good deals there. Granted, I'm not a big fan of the GW army cases, but not too bad. $30 gets you hills. $15 gets you paintbrushes. Really, really good deals there. If you're willing to spend up to $100 or more, $250 gets you the mega paint set. And since GW has gone back to the snap top lids, really, 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 really good deal. Although I am a big Vallejo person, or $60 gets you a year subscription to White Dwarf. Really recommend that you don't do that. And then for $90, you can do a custom army case, which is basically like Sabal army transports, where you get your foam and they come in either a green case or a red case, and you just pluck them out and choose how you need to customize it, whether you need tanks or whatnot. Best deals here, we think, are the textured movement trays, the flock for $8, whether it's sand or regular flock, in the hills for $30. So remember, you know, it's time of year to go shopping for other people and to give ideas to people to shop for you. So be sure, you know, to check out the Games Workshop gift guides. You know, if you play Games Workshop games, there's probably something there that you can use. And if not, there's probably something similar. You know, they mentioned like specific squads or regiments. Maybe you need a different regiment or squad, but it gives people a good idea. So be sure to check that out. And actually, we are near the end of our show. It's been a pretty long show, mainly because we kind of went through each item in the gift guide, and we spent a little bit of time talking about the mini Starship battles. But we do want to thank everyone who listened today, and I want to say that, you know, our next show is going to be on November 30th, and that is this coming Thursday. And I want to remind everyone that it is the last Thursday of the month. And since it is the last Thursday of the month, I run my Young Adult Graphic Novel Book Club. So that means the podcast will be getting up later than usual. And I do apologize for that, but it will be getting up later than usual. My book club runs from, you know, 3 to 4 or 3 to 5. And then after that. Sorry about that. There was a weird noise here. But after that, I'll be doing the podcast. As always, you know, we really appreciate that you listened and hope that you like what we have done in today's podcast. Whether you like it or not, please give us your feedback. You can do that by going to our website, which is wargamingforums.com. And our website has a Contact Us page. We put that in our show notes, but it's also at the top of the page on the right. And that tells you how to get in touch with us. We just want to thank you and say that, you know, as always, our exit theme is Pop Science by Devin Anderson. So, once again, our next show is November 30th. Thanks. Keep on gaming. Bye.